Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Vacation Station Travel Show with Nancy and Lisa. You know, every second Friday and every second Tuesday is our segments with the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. So we get to chat with travel writers and representatives from destinations across the country and around the world. And today we're excited to go back to Memphis. We keep driving through Memphis, but you know, Milton Howery over from Travel Memphis or Memphis Tourism, he is here back on the show. And we wave at him every time we drive through going, I know he's telling us we need to pull over because there's lots to do in Memphis. It's historic. I mean, everyone knows where Memphis is. But the thing is, we need to all go there because there's so much to do. And apparently in spring, it is one of the best times to visit. Right, Milton? Welcome back.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me back. It's been, I guess, maybe a year or so since I've been
Something like that.
But yeah, I'm glad to come back. Spring is the best time to come to Memphis. And the weather is so amazing. And when I say spring, I pretty much say the time like March kicks off and the weather gets pretty, starts to get a little bit warmer. So anytime I say spring, I say March through early June is a really perfect time before it gets too hot. And even if it is hot in Memphis, it's still great to experience the outdoors here. But that perfect weather season is pretty much going to be through that March through early June.
Oh, nice. that's a big time.
And that's a good length. Yeah,
I know. Also, you've got the rivers, and that's something I think, especially, you know, we're still not quite out of this pandemic, and all of us really want to be able to still get out of the house, get outside, get some fresh air, and get some nature connection. And it looks like with having water as part of your backyard, that opens the door to even more experiences.
Yeah, so the Mississippi River is right in our backyard. It's at our, I'm accurate, not backyard, it's at our front door.
Oh, okay, there it is.
Cool.
It's at our front door. Memphis begins at the river. The river is right there in downtown Memphis. The river is so amazing. Currently, Tom Lee Park, one of our, entryways to viewing the river, it's currently going through a multi-million dollar renovation that will be reopening in a couple years. So that particular, but that's just the southern tip of downtown Memphis and Riverside Drive. You still have so many spaces in downtown Memphis to experience the river, from catching a riverboat cruise that will still go on from Riverside Drive, where you can learn the history of the Mississippi River and in the city of Memphis. But also, if anyone is catching a riverboat cruise from New Orleans to Memphis or any other cities, we are frequently a destination on multiple cruise ships that go up and down the Mississippi River. So, you know, that's an option as well. So you can fly into Memphis and catch a cruise or go into New Orleans and catch one to Memphis. Or
I didn't know that at all.
That's crazy.
Are you
yeah.
kidding me?
How
yes, I want to yes, do that. When can we book? I want it now. I want to go back and forth.
Well, you know, I've been reading recently, and the cruise along the Mississippi River has expanded after COVID. So they've been expanding and adding more riverboat cruise opportunities along the Mississippi. And so Memphis is so appreciative of that opportunity that gives our visitors another way of getting to Memphis and experiencing Memphis in a different way. I actually sadly I've not done the cruise from New Orleans to Memphis yet. I've got to do it. I want to see what it feels like to pull up to Memphis.
Also New Orleans too. Yeah. I mean, I love I want the there and back because I just think it's like you've got two sides to see, you know, and have that experience. And I think it's also a really cool way of not having to drive your car. I mean, maybe I'm just tired of driving across the country all the time, but to me, it's just nice to float. And, you know, when we talk about cruises, a lot of times you'll think of, you know, the river cruises through Europe, and you'll think about cruising, you know, to Mexico and, you know, South America, but we don't often talk about what we have locally, or Alaska is always there, right? Yeah. We don't talk about the local.
Exactly. Yeah, there are thousands of people yearly that take those cruises, and I'm glad to see Memphis, and Memphis River, glad to see that Memphis has increased as a destination for people to visit for river cruises. And for those that are not looking to do the several day cruise, you can still come to Memphis, and if you want to experience the river, and just catch our 2-hour cruise, which is basically going to give you a history of the Mississippi River. And then from that point, if you're still wanting to have that, you know, river experience, you can go kayaking on the Mississippi. I have done that. It's a little scary. So if you see the picture in you guys' background, what you're looking at, that part that's the river, the water portion that's closest to you on the screen, that is the harbor. That's Wolf River Harbor. And then where the bridge is, that is the Mississippi River. So the harbor connects to the Mississippi River. So a lot of my coworkers, we did this maybe just right before COVID, and maybe this is 2019, I guess. And we did kayaking, trying to take some promotional photos. And I decided that the river was a little scary for me. So as we got closer to the mouth of the river, I kind of edged towards the land a little bit.
Sounds like me. I go in circles.
As my coworkers went out into the river and got these fabulous photos. But you can rent kayaks from the Mississippi River. You can rent kayaks for the Mississippi River off of Mud Island. So that piece of land that you see in your picture there in your guys' background, that is Mud Island, where you actually can do a great photo op and catch a selfie or a picture of the city of Memphis, a skyline. There is a Memphis sign there. If you've ever seen the pop, like the one you have in the picture, there's one in front of the sunflowers. You can catch that right across the river there on Mud Island. It's actually a peninsula now. The northern end is actually where you have several thousand residents live on the northern end of Mud Island, where you have actually a few restaurants and shops and even a River Inn hotel. So that's another experience of Memphis that I think that some people don't realize we have. It's right on the north of the downtown Memphis area, and it's connected by a bridge and a land bridge as well. So it's more of like a peninsula. But you also have a replica model of the Mississippi River on Mud Island, and this is outside, by the way, that expands the length of the southern portion of the island. And throughout the year, there are multiple different events and activities, from music events that takes place on the island. So always keep track of the Memphis Travel Events page or the I Love Memphis page to let you know all about the incoming events that are taking place around the city. But also, in addition to that, in terms of experiencing the outdoors near the river in downtown Memphis, if you like to bike or if you like to hike or walk, you're really close to Big River Crossing in downtown Memphis. Big River Crossing is the largest pedestrian bridge to cross the Mississippi River. And so you can literally, you can walk at your hotel in downtown Memphis and get to Big River Crossing and cross the bridge and be in Arkansas in a matter of minutes.
That's wild.
Wow.
And actually, I live in downtown Memphis, so like it's one of my favorite things to do in the evening or early mornings when before work. But tourists can do it anytime.
So just go walk over and say hi. Yeah. Hi, Arkansas. Okay, nice to see you. Come back. But that is so cool, though. I mean, being able to walk along a bridge, because just even when we're driving, that especially going like from your area to New Orleans and through Alabama and all those states, you're going over all these bayous and rivers, and you're like, I want to like look over and see the water, and you want to get a photo, and you can't, they'll arrest you. So I haven't tried yet, but I think I'll come try at your place. That's a lot easier and safer.
With our pedestrian bridge, you actually ride at the bridge. You can rent a bike, or you can use a bird or a scooter, or you can walk. And when you go across the bridge, you actually are connected to West Memphis, Arkansas, which is the state of Arkansas, a small town across the river from Memphis. But they have several miles of trails over there that you can take, or you can continue it on into the city of West Memphis, Arkansas, and experience things over there as well. But I love to pretty much leave downtown Memphis, hop on a bike, and do the trails on that side and come right back. It's really a enjoyable, rewarding experience.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah. I love it when cities and downtowns have nature attached, you know? And I think it makes the downtown healthier too, but what is the downtown like? Because I know Nancy and I know a lot of travelers. We get somewhere, we want to check in a hotel. And we got to talk about hotels. I know you've got new properties as well, but you want to check in the hotel and then you just want to walk down a downtown district.
You want to walk.
You know, check in a restaurant or a bar, see, listen to live music if it's allowed back on, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so downtown Memphis is very walkable. And so for those who don't want to walk, you can actually catch the trolley that runs up north and south along Main Street. Main Street kind of is a center point road in downtown Memphis that goes north and south. So you easily can catch it. So for instance, if you're staying in the South Main Historic Art District, which is one of my favorite neighborhoods in downtown Memphis, the South Main Art District is where you'll find Central Station Hotel, which is actually still an active train station. You can catch a train from Memphis to New Orleans or to Chicago.
That's neat.
And so it's still an active train station. Huh. And every night there's music in the lobby by a DJ that was a vinyl record DJ player. And so the actual musical DJ that plays vinyl records every day in the evening, typically about 6 to around about 10 or 11 at night. And it's all the music. So there's over 200. They have a huge vinyl record wall with over 2,000 or so records. And essentially, all of them have some type of connection to Memphis music history and legacy, because we are known for our music history. That is one of the main reasons that bring tourists here, is our music legacy. From when you talk about the music from Sun Studios, or the music where that's where Elvis first recorded, so the music at High Records Royal Studios, which is where Al Green, Otis Redding, and the Bark, and well, actually Al Green and Ann Peebles, and then Stax is where Otis Redding and Isaac Hayes and so many of the other artists recorded soul music in Memphis. So there's Royal Studios, and then there's Stax, and then there's also you know, just music in general that's been made in Memphis from many of the studios here that typically have that is in some of the records that you will hear when you're in Central Station listening to music. So it is the official living room of downtown Memphis, south of the Peabody. But that's also one of our favorite places as well in downtown Memphis to go and hang out. But it's really a place where you're going to find locals and tourists just really listening to music and having a sip of wine and just kind of relaxing. And it's one of my favorite go-to points. And it's a real huge lobby, spacious, you know, for you to space out and have a good time. And then they also, I think the most unique portion of their hotel is they have a listening room that fits maybe like 6 people max, where you can grab your wine at the bar and go into a listening room. It's completely has no windows, and essentially the music is pouring into the room through these really nice speakers. And you really get to sit there and just relax and not think about the outside world, and just sip your wine or your cocktail and just take in the moment and experience in life and being in the moment. And it really is one of my favorite things to do, just kind of tune out from the world. So I definitely encourage. So if you're a hotel, if you're staying at Central, if you're visiting Memphis, go to Central Station. You don't have to stay at the hotel to go into the listening room. You can just walk in there and just have a seat. You don't really have to buy a cocktail if you don't.
Oh, but I want a cocktail with my listening experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love this about the music, because you're so central. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know I wanted to bring this up because we noticed driving up and down that we're part of the music highway. Isn't it like the music highway between Memphis and Nashville too?
So Memphis and music highway, a lot of people like to think of the music highway. Yes. So you have the connections. That's the music in the South. You know, that's where music in America.
It's a big
originates.
Deal.
It's really big. So you talk about music in the South. You have the whole connection. There's Highway 61, which is where a lot of the blues musicians made their way up from the Mississippi Delta into downtown Memphis, because 61 connects with Bill Street. So once you reach the city limits of Memphis and downtown Memphis, 61 is actually now called B.B. King Avenue.
Cool.
That connects with Bill Street. So that's how Bill Street became the mecca of music and blues. And so when you think about if you're in downtown Memphis, you are just 3 hours from Nashville, you are just 5 hours from New Orleans. So those are definitely key cities in music. And then like the hotel I mentioned, Central Station, that's just on the south end of downtown, still walking distance or a short trolley ride to Bill Street. And then, but on Bill Street, if we could go into more of the music there, the music is there pretty much 7 nights a week. Every evening you can catch some amazing music on Bill Street. I literally ran into I was having cocktail with a colleague yesterday evening at the Arrive Hotel and I ran into a tourist, and you know, they was like, where's Bill Street? I was like, it's literally right there. They were looking for music. I was like, you're in the right place. Music here happens every night. Go to BB King's Club, go to Rum Boogie, or just what I can say, people, get to Bill Street, grab your cocktail and bar hop. During the week, it's the only place that usually charges like a $5 cover in the middle of the week. It's going to be BB King's, usually about a $5 cover. If you go during some of our peak season times and some or weekends, some of the bars and clubs will charge $5 to $10. But for the most part, if you're in the middle of the week, they're pretty much free to go into, but the cost is very, very minimum. Experience that you're going to get listening.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding? I mean, because it's about live music, and listen, artists need to be paid.
Exactly.
Because Spotify ain't cutting it. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Especially after the whole pandemic, artists and live music, it's we finally got to see a band that's been on our show for years perform live, and I swear it was like somebody needed to tear us out of the room. It was just electrifying to be back in live music land and Beale Street. I mean, this is just, to me, this cultural history too. I mean, it's just so huge. And when you're talking about a train being able to go from, you know, Memphis to Chicago, you've got to think of, like, on this, you should like start a musical road trip from Memphis, start there, and then, you know, take a cruise to New Orleans, come back to Memphis, take a train to Chicago, go to Detroit. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. We got the Nashville in there. You know,
I'm just kind of,
and then Mississippi's not that far, you know.
Yeah, from Memphis, you're just 5 minutes from 5 minutes to Mississippi, and Arkansas is across the river. So you're really close to other states by being in Memphis. And one place I wanted to mention, when you're on Bill Street in downtown Memphis, one of the first hotels on Bill Street is the Hyatt Centric Hotel that just opened last year. And that is the view that that you have essentially with background of your image. So the Hyatt Centric has an amazing rooftop. Beck and Call is the name of the restaurant there. And they pretty much are open Wednesday through Sunday, and they pretty much have music or a DJ almost every evening there. Very wonderful place to go and just listen to music and tune out and catch the views of the Mississippi River and see the sunset. We have amazing sunsets, by the way. I think people don't realize that you can really get some amazing sunsets in Memphis. So the sunsets here are really, really wonderful and great. And one of the—
it's because you've got water. When you have that opening of water that allows for you to have those sunsets and those sunrises and that. So if you have rooftop bars, now that's it.
Man. Cool.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you have them. You also have, so Hyatt Centric has a rooftop, and then there's also the Hugh Hotel, which is a few blocks over, also have a rooftop. So, and you can come to Memphis and pick one hotel and still experience any of the other rooftops. And most of them don't charge a cover fee or anything for you to go and grab a cocktail and experience the music on their rooftop. So whether it's Hyatt Centric or whether it's the Hugh Hotel, those are two of my favorite rooftops in Memphis to go and listen to music and catch the sunsets of Memphis.
That sounds just wonderful.
One thing I want to touch on, you've got all this music history and you've got, you know, the live music and the vinyl. I want to go to the place where I can just, you know, I want my cocktail and vinyls, because that's the way we used to listen to music. We used to have listening parties, and we talk about that with musicians on the show all the time. They're like, we need to get back to that. And vinyl's starting to really pick up. So to have an actual experience like that brings people back to their roots of truly listening. I love that. But do you have museums that connect with the history of music in Memphis? Yeah,
absolutely. So the museums here can take, music museums here can take up a day and a half, depending on how much time you have.
Oh, cool.
We have several. I'll start with mentioning Sun Studios. You know, that's where Elvis first recorded, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Rufus Thomas. So many artists recorded there, and they do tours every day, pretty much on the half hour. So you can learn the history and step into history there. And the actual recording studio is actually the same. So you actually get to step into past there and experience and learn about it. And the musicians at Sun Studios, what I love, the tour guides are all musicians for the most part.
So they all
are very enthusiastic, and they all have been there a long time. They love what they do. So you really get Understanding of Memphis music, not just from someone who's giving you a tour, who's been paid to give a tour, but someone who's actually involved in the music community, appreciates it and understands it, and it's a part of who they are. And so you get different experience. So that's one of the things that I do love about the tour guides there, not just the history that was at Sun, but just how the involvement and the tours that they give. And then you can go over to a few blocks from that is the Rock and Soul Museum. It's a part of the Smithsonian Institution that really, when you said the blues highway and music,
Awesome.
That talks about how Memphis music has influenced music throughout the world. And so it talks about the rock and roll music. It talks about the soul and the blues. So it basically, it's one of those museums where I say, if you don't have time to visit all the museums, definitely do the Rock and Soul, because it's going to give you a timeline of that music history. It gives you a better understanding, and it gives you an overall picture of what history that Memphis, the history that Memphis made in music. And our legacy. And then there's the Stax Museum, one of my personal favorites, Stax Museum of American Soul Music. We talked about everyone who recorded at Stax Records, like Otis Redding and the Bar Kays and the Staple Singers and so many others. You're going to learn about Memphis soul music, but they also talk about American soul music as well, because so often people think about they instantly go to, I'm not going to say their name, but they instantly think about, I think sometimes, another record label in the north that had amazing music as well in terms of soul. I'm not going to mention them, but they're great.
I know who it is.
But when you get down to Memphis, and there's a distinct difference when you hear Memphis soul music compared to others. And that's the distinction you kind of learn when you come to Stax, is how influential music in Memphis was when regarding to soul music. So I love Stax. They also have an academy, the Stax Music Academy, that is on the property connected next to the Stax Museum of American Soul Music. So if anybody's ever looking to support the arts and the education, I definitely convince you to look up the Stax Academy. I actually just had opportunity to take two of the students, former students, to Paris with me recently. As we were able, there's a documentary that showcased Stax Music Academy and the music that the students are creating there. Documentary featured the students and how music has been beneficial to their lives. And so we were able to take those students and showcase that over in France recently.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
When you're in school, did you grow up in Memphis?
I spent my entire life here. I've never lived anywhere else. I grew up just 3 miles from Graceland.
As soon as you say music, you're all like, yep, let's talk music. Because I was just wondering what it was like to go to school in Memphis, knowing this history, knowing, you know, it's like, do they teach it in school, like just regular public school?
So the thing is, everyone in Memphis, for the most part, is musically talented. So if you're like me and you're not, it's kind of weird. So, you know, a lot of people can sing, a lot of people can play instruments, and it usually starts in the church. Usually Memphis church is still very, very prominent experience and part of the culture of Memphis. And so that's usually where a lot of the children are getting an education in music. And then once you become an adult, you realize that, oh my gosh, all the songs that my parents used to play to me on WDIA radio station, which was America's first Black radio station with an all Black staff. I grew up listening to that station. I didn't realize the significance of that station. It's right here in Memphis. They're also listed on the National Civil Rights Trail. I didn't realize that. So as you get older and you realize the impact of, that I've been listening to this historical station all of my life, and then the music on that station have come from also from music. So it kind of adds up. And so when you become an adult, you go, oh my gosh, like, you just assume that the rest of the world is just as cool.
Being on the road, we always try to catch into what's the local, you know, radio doing, you know, and college towns, you get good stuff, and definitely driving through your area, driving Mississippi, you want the sound. It's very hard to find in most of the country. But really, when you start getting into the South and the Southeast, it's like, oh, thank God, we're actually hearing real stuff. You'll hear the gospel. You will hear everything that's just roots music, what comes out of America. And it's exciting to us, you know, just driving. So you're not listening to the same song that a playlist that has been sold to every radio station. As you cross county line, you get to hear Hotel California for the millionth time. So yeah. I love it. I love that, you know, the roots of radio being there too. It changed everything. Music, getting on the radio back then was the biggest deal. I mean, it's still a big deal, but it's different now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's, it's exciting. I want to go do like a whole music trip in Memphis. Like
absolutely.
That to me is like, because as we drive, being a full-time traveler, we're both musicians. And when you're driving, you know, the songs were recorded here, there, and everywhere. And so when you're driving, we're looking out at scenery and it's all about the music, man. That's like it. It's like so-and-so was recorded here. Switch, take the radio off, put this on because they need to play it. You know what I mean? So it's like you get this feeling of places, but in Memphis, that's huge. You've really got just massive history. And I love that it's, you know, part of, you know, the cultural since schools, and then there's education. Do you know what the documentary name is so people know they can go watch it?
Yes. You know, I'm having a brain freeze at the moment.
Sure.
And it is called Soul Kids. That's what it is.
Oh, Soul Kids. Cool. Cool. Because it's important that people know what soul music is.
Yeah.
Because even R&B and soul has changed so much from what it was in the roots. So to me, I think there's also, I want people to hear it, what it was, how it started.
Yes, definitely look at Soul Kids. It's going to tell you about the Stax Music Academy. But there's also Take Me to the River, which I think you can find on multiple streaming platforms that showcases. That was a documentary that came out about 2 years ago. And this showcased, again, the influence of Memphis music, but it connected with modern day current artists like Snoop Dogg and several others. It kind of told the story and also some legendary Memphis soul artists as well. And so basically just kind of told the story of Memphis music, and it was called Taken to the River. So I encourage you to take a look at that documentary as well.
Cool.
It's very, very one of my favorite documentaries that talks about Memphis music. So I definitely encourage you to look at that. And then I'm just going to briefly mention museums, the Memphis Music Hall of Fame, and then there's also the Blues Hall of Fame. That I encourage everyone to check out. If you're here to discover music, those two. And of course, we all know Elvis is here. I include Elvis as, you know, I think when we think Elvis, we think more so of the culture shift that he created in America and with his music. So when I say Elvis, it's music, but it's also the culture and life and legacy of Elvis. So Elvis is kind of like, when I say music, like he's a part of that very much so, but then there's so much more of that as well. So Graceland, at Graceland, they actually, if anyone has not been to Graceland in the last 4 or 5 years, they completely changed the experience over there. The mansion is pretty much obviously the same, but they've built the guest house at Graceland, 450 room luxury hotel. It sits next door to Graceland. So you
can say
next door to Graceland, the mansion. There's also the Elvis Presley Entertainment Complex, which, you know, when Elvis died in the 70s, and by the way, his birthday is this week.
Happy birthday.
But when Elvis passed away, you know, there was a shopping center across the street from his home. And that shopping center is what became part of Graceland. But it was never really meant to be a museum. It was a shopping center. And so around about 2017, 18, I get the dates wrong now. But just a few years ago, Graceland completely revamped and knocked down those old stores and made an amazing complex, entertainment complex that truly showcases Elvis' life and legacy in the correct way, in the way that he deserves. You have the amazing car museum and his career exhibit.
Awesome.
And they also do, and you have restaurants, Vernon Smokehouse, you know, named after his father, where you can get some soul food at Graceland. Graceland also has an exhibition center, which has a variety of different traveling shows. And most recently they had Disney Archives exhibit, you know, that was showcased all the amazing items from the history of Disney right on the property of Graceland. So Think of Grayson as more than Elvis. It talks about his career and his life and his legacy, but now Grayson expands to have a variety of different shows that are often taking place on the property or exhibitions as well.
Oh, nice. I like this.
Wow.
I like this. I mean, now the food, soul food, let's talk about that, because you mentioned it and all of a sudden I just want to eat macaroni.
Get
I don't
hungry.
Know what happened. Suddenly I just want macaroni and cheese. It was an immediate thing. And I mean, is that considered part soul food or not? Or is that more Southern?
No, mac and cheese is definitely soul food. Yes, soul food, definitely. Mac and cheese is definitely one of the check items that you must check on the box when it comes to saying soul food. So you can, Memphis, I would say our most famous soul food spot is going to be the Four Way Grill in South Memphis. It's also called Soulsville USA. That's where Stax Records is, Stax Museum of American Soul Music. That's where they're located, just a couple blocks away. But that was a location, a Four Way Grill, where Dr. Martin Luther King and Jesse Jackson and several others would consistently go there during the Civil Rights Movement and have lunch or dinner. You know, my mother is not from Memphis. I live in Memphis my entire life, but my father's from Memphis. My mother moved here from Mississippi. She had heard of it, but she still, and it has been around, the restaurant has been around a long time. And so she had never really had the opportunity to go. She's like, I've always heard of it. I've been in Memphis my entire, most of her life now. She was like, I can't believe that my father, who's from Memphis, had never taken her. So I actually had an opportunity to take her a few years ago. And I was like, we're going to Four Way for Sunday dinner. That's where we're going to go. You cannot have me working for Memphis Tourism and my mother has never been the Four Way.
That's not happening.
And yeah. So I was in the sitting, I was waiting for a table. I was sitting there telling her the history of it. And I say, you know, Jesse Jackson, Dr. Martin Luther King, and then in comes Jesse Jackson.
No way.
Wow.
I was like, see, I told you. I didn't make it up. There he goes, right on cue. He walked in literally about 5 minutes after I told her about the history that she had already knew about, but you know, just hadn't had a chance to experience.
It's amazing how much he's still doing.
Yeah.
I mean, we were driving through Georgia and he was there on a case in Brunswick, Georgia. Somebody got shot and another police thing, whatever, but we won't get into all of that.
Yeah, I saw him in the news recently. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, he's still like,
yeah.
And he rattled the courtroom, you know. I think Reverend Al Sharpton was there. I might be wrong, but
you know, I think that was, they may have been Reverend Al Sharpton that was at that one.
But it really unsettled people, and I thought, well, let's get unsettled.
That's what has to happen.
It needs to happen. But I think you know, you got to think about that history. It wasn't that long ago. We're getting close to Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, MLK Day in January. I think it's on the 17th this year.
I encourage visitors to come to Memphis and learn about the Black history that happened in Memphis and how Memphis shifted. So we have music, but there's a whole nother segment of Black history in Memphis from the National Civil Rights Museum, where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, that gives you the timeline and gives you the history of so many historical and important moments that everyone should know about the civil rights movement. So you can, you know, it's more than just a museum, it's a sacred place to go and learn about history. And that sits right walking distance of Central Station Hotel that I mentioned earlier. It sits a walking distance of the Blues Hall of Fame. They're actually in the same neighborhood, which is the South Historic Art District. But then there's like Slave Haven Underground Railroad, which is a stop, which was a stopping point during the Underground Railroad, where the Burkle Estate there, the family that owned that home, would hide slaves as they was making their way north. And so you can experience that's just on the north end of downtown Memphis. So that's an important stop. And then there's also Tour Possibilities. Tour Possibilities is owned by Carolyn Michael Banks. She does a fabulous job giving you a thorough history of Memphis Black history. And I really love her to death. And so I say, if you come to Memphis and you want to, if you're coming here, come to Black History Month if you can, but if you can't, come anytime throughout the year and take that tour of possibilities from Carolyn Michael Banks. And also there's Heritage Tours by Elaine Turner, who also manages the Slave Haven Museum. She also gives those historical tours as well. And Elaine Turner, her family, who runs the Slave Haven Museum, as well as the Heritage Tours, her family and her siblings were a part of the most arrested family in Memphis during the Civil War movement. So not only is she giving tours, she is also a part of Memphis history. She has a marker on Main Street of her name and some of her family members. And then there's one last place I mentioned on Black history. It's going to be the on Beale Street. We're known for music, right? But there's also a lot of history on there as well. People should visit the Ernest Withers Gallery on Beale Street. It's kind of on the far eastern end of Beale Street. And Ernest Withers was a famous photographer during the Civil Rights Movement, who just so happened to capture some of the iconic and amazing photos of the time that showcases pictures of Dr. King to pictures of Elvis and B.B. King. If you were reading a newspaper at any time in history that revolved around that time period, he has over a million or so photos and archives where he was in every right place at the right moment capturing history. So I encourage everyone to take a moment if you're on Beale Street and go visit the Ernest Withers Gallery and Museum and learn the history.
I want to see that.
Yeah. It's actually ran today by his daughter is Rosalind Withers, is one who's keeping up on the legacy and sharing her father's pictures with the world.
Wow. That's amazing. I think it's really important to do the history, you know, to get involved and learn the Black history, because that's really a huge chunk. If you want to learn about the music, you've got to start at the history, I think.
You know, otherwise you miss most of the reason for the music.
Mm-hmm. And I want to see Mavis Staples sing in Memphis. That's what I want.
That'd be cool.
He's like one of my all-time favorite singers. You can't beat Mavis. She's like the mother of music to me. She just is like, I want to see her in Memphis perform. You think about her history, you know, all the way back to Staples, you know, the Staples singers, the girls and the father, you know, they changed things. Mm-hmm. They really changed. And so I think the history and the music have to be hand in hand.
Oh, absolutely.
But I'm into going to the grill. That's, you know, I swear that grill has been in movies all about civil rights history. I think we've seen it like in movies. A lot of movies been filmed in Memphis? I know we totally went off topic, didn't we?
No. So we have been several movies. You know, there's The Firm that had Tom Cruise back in the day. There's Hustle and Flow. About a decade ago, won the Oscar for the first film that featured, it was the soundtrack that won the Oscar. It was the soundtrack, It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp, that was produced by 3-6 Mafia, Al Capone, and some other and prominent Memphis rappers. But they were the first hip hop group in history to receive an Oscar for a soundtrack.
Awesome.
There are so many movies that's been filmed here. There was one that was on Netflix last year, about a year and a half ago, and it is on the tip of my tongue. It was about, it was focused on a gentleman who was learning, he wanted to be in the wine industry. I can't think of the name, but it was very prominent. Memphis is one of the iconic American cities to host and to host or do a movie production, because our city is very much so, as my friend who visited recently said, Memphis is very iconic. When you step here, you know that there's no other place to compare it to. You can feel the authenticness of the city. You can feel
that's important.
I know we've developed, we've been growing over the years, but we've really stayed true in maintaining our architecture of the city. That plays into how tourists experience it. It plays into how filmmakers may choose a city to host a movie or to shoot a movie.
Mm. Yeah, the integrity.
Right.
Yes.
So the the history. That's the tie-in.
You can't take those buildings down.
Moving forward, you know, with music, going back there, I can't help it. But, you know, you've got this rich history and, you know, the legacies of all these amazing musicians being kept alive. What about music of today? You know, you're talking about hip hop. Is that happening in Memphis too? So that there's like all of it or, you know, how, I mean, you know what I mean? Are we progressing and still, you know?
Yes. You know what? I'm so glad you asked that question. So that's a wonderful question. Memphis is still very much so relevant on multiple genres of music. Cool. You know, I'm going to name a few. I'll start with Southern Avenue, They're one of our most popular blues and soul groups in Memphis. You know, they're wonderful. They actually was nominated for a Grammy, I think, in 2020. They are absolutely just simply amazing. They are my favorite group, but they also have been continuously growing and racking up awareness for blues music. And so Southern Avenue, look them up. You're going to love them. We're also in the middle of a rap renaissance. Hip hop renaissance in Memphis. So Memphis is one of the top cities in the country for hip hop music. Memphis has people, we're known for, you know, in our legacy and history for the soul, the blues and the rock and roll, but that ties directly to the hip hop music, which as you know, is and throughout the world is one of the most popular genres of music at the moment. And so Memphis has been very influential in that, from groups like 3-6 Mafia to Yo Gotti, to a rapper that actually passed away recently, Young Dolph, to Kia Shine, I can go on and on, Moneybagg Yo, I can go on and on about the rap music. And these are not, and I mention these names, any hip hop fan knows those names, and these names are on the top of the hip hop charts. So we are not just saying they're just up and coming, they are making history again for Memphis and music. And so you have groups like that, but then there's some amazing R&B artists that have come out of Memphis, like Jazzy. Jazzy's a singer-songwriter. You remember the hit song, Old Town Road? By Lil Nas X and the country music singer, Miley Cyrus' father, Billy.
Oh, yeah.
He had a rap song with Lil Nas X. It was the number one song.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And so that song was co-wrote with Jazzy, a singer musician from Memphis. There's R&B singer Dottie, and she was the background singer for J Lo and Ciara and Ella May and so many and Kendrick Lamar and so many amazing hip hop and R&B artists. And she's now venturing out and doing her own solo music. You know, there's the singer Kirby. I mean, I can go on and on about the singers that have come out of Memphis. The thing is, Memphis music, the artists here, if they are not the lead artist that is producing the music and performing in front and center, then they're usually the ones in the background that's giving the sound. So I like to say, we like to say that Memphis music is being infused into multiple genres of music because our artists are participating in multiple ways in the music industry. So our sound and the culture and soul of Memphis is being tapped into by everyone. Even singer Cardi B has sampled on her first album, she sampled multiple hits from Memphis music, Memphis rap music. So she remade a few classic rap music songs from Memphis. And so she's got, you know, her fame off of sampling our Memphis music, even Jay-Z to Kanye West. They sample Otis Redding song from Stax. They sampled some Stax music. So I mean, I could go on and on about what's happening in the current music industry and the role that Memphis has in that. It's very instrumental. And if you're not in tune to the current hip hop scene, it may go above your radar. But those in the industry know that Memphis is front and center and very influential and still influencing culture.
Well, it's I love it because it bridges the different genres when you think about, like, even Snoop, right? Everyone knows Snoop. If you don't know Snoop, dude, you ain't there.
Yeah, but Snoop, how can you not?
Snoop is the man. And I was just watching an interview with him, and he was playing some of his latest stuff. I don't even think it's out yet. He was just like, hey, you got to hear what I'm working on. But you listen to his singing, he's all soul in there. That goes back to the sound. You know what I mean? Yeah. That original sound.
Yes.
That, you know,
excuse me, I'm moving as I realize that my laptop is now like on red. I'm like,
let's go. Okay.
So I'm just moving slightly. Don't mind me.
He's moving us around. Hey, now wait a minute. That's a perfect
backdrop. Oh, look at that background.
Now we need the backdrop.
You can see the Grammy Awards.
Yeah, cool.
Because the Grammy Memphis chapter actually has an office in our building around the hall. Just like they're on the other side of this wall, that they have office here. So we do have some of the previous Grammy flyers
nice.
Here. This is like 81. This one is from 82. That one's from 80. So we have, we've been very, very much so involved in our Grammy chapter here. And as there's a Grammy chapter that's actually there's actually the Grammy Museum that's about a few hours south of Memphis in Mississippi.
This is cool. So, all right. So we're putting you in our Celebrate the Arts magazine because this is you can go out, go kayaking, do the riverboat because if that also, listen, when you get on the water, that's a connection to music too. And I'm just saying, it is. When you think about coming and staying, are there music festivals that happen in springtime or any time of the year?
Yeah, so the music festivals are big here. So the most important one, but probably one of the most world-known ones is going to be the Beale Street Music Festival, which takes place in May. It's going to kick off the last day. It's the first weekend of, always the first weekend of May. So it's going to kick off with artists like the Foo Fighters, and it's going to have rapper Lil Wayne. It usually has a very diverse group of artists from every genre.
That's diverse.
They've already released the first lineup. So I encourage anybody to visit memphisinmay.com or go to Memphis Travel and see the first lineup that they've released. And then the second lineup should be coming out in a matter of weeks. So Memphis in May is the Memphis in May International Festival. So the first weekend of Memphis in May kicks off the music festival. And then there's another weekend in May that focuses on the barbecue competition. It's the World Championship Barbecue Competition. And so that's typically going to be the third weekend in May. And people who've been before are traditionally used to it taking place in downtown Memphis. But because our River Park is being renovated, it's now going to take place on our fairgrounds, which is in Midtown. And Midtown is still very convenient to downtown Memphis. So you can still book your amazing hotel in downtown Memphis and still catch a short ride drive over to the fairgrounds where the festivals will take place. So Barbecue Championship and then the Beale Street Music Festival are our two biggest events for May. And then we usually salute a different country every year. So this year's gonna be Ghana. So it's usually some educational opportunities and events that are centered around acknowledging that country. Then you also have, and I'll back it up. So that's May. I'll back it up a little bit. I forgot about, Black History Month is coming up. I would encourage everybody to come to the events that take place in the month of February, but also in March, you're gonna have Black Restaurant Week, where you can experience all the Black owned restaurants in town, and they all have a special menu that they put together. And you can kind of pick and choose where you wanna go each day and experience Black owned restaurants in Memphis. So you have that. You also have, there's the World Championship Hot Wing Competition that takes place. I think I get frozen. My screen freezes a little bit.
Yeah,
there.
You're freezing. You'll come back when we can hear you.
Yeah. But yeah, it's the World Championship Hot Wing. And so, we're known for barbecue. Everyone knows us for the barbecue, right? But they tend to not realize that we are also the hot wing capital. And so you can come here. We have a lot of hot wing restaurants here. And Food and Wine magazine actually did an article recently that stated that the best hot wings in America are made in Memphis.
Wow.
I definitely encourage everyone to check out the Hot Wing Festival. And then there's also, if anyone is interested in getting in a hot air balloon, that's going to be coming in June. It's the Bluff City Balloon Jamboree. I actually had the opportunity to ride in one last year, and it was definitely one of the best experiences ever. I definitely encourage everyone to buy tickets to that because tickets did sell out really quickly last year. So that's one of my favorite festivals. And then there's also the Cooper Young Garden Walk. That's going to take place in May. So Cooper Young is another neighborhood in Memphis that is simply amazing. That has all these older, beautiful homes. And these homeowners have these amazing yards that they've crafted so neatly, where they open up to the community and you buy a ticket and you get a map and you get to walk and sip wine as you walk from one home to the next. And you go through their backyard and the front yard, just experiencing all these wonderful gardens and these wonderful homes. So the Cooper Young Garden Walk is that's usually May 21st and the 22nd. So you can see May is quite busy.
Yeah.
And, And then I also want to talk about, there's a conference that's coming here that, you know, the people in the travel industry, like you all may be interested in attending. There is the TravelCon is coming to Memphis as well. And TravelCon is a major conference that works, that brings and recruits in travel writers and travel influencers. They've only been around for about 3 years, but they've been generating a lot of attention and awareness. And we're excited for the 400 to 500 people that are going to come here in May to experience travel.
Wow, that's cool.
Okay, wait, one second. Okay, we got Milton back. He was frozen on the screen conducting an orchestra. Was it a soul orchestra? What kind of band was that you were conducting?
You know, it was a mix of soul and blues with a little bit of hip hop.
Okay, cool. All right, it was good. It looked good. I was like, man, he's holding that position for a while, but welcome back. But so there's all these events happening. Obviously, there's the outdoors and definitely the music and history. So like I was saying, I know we're supposed to be talking about the outdoors most, but it's like, how can you not talk about music and, you know, the culture if you're going to go to, you know, Memphis? But where people stay, you've mentioned a couple hotels. I know that you've had some new ones built. Let's talk about where people should look at checking in.
Yeah, so I've already mentioned the Hyatt Centric, which one of our newest hotels right on Bill Street. So, and then I mentioned Central Station.
Yeah.
Which is basically where it's still an active train station where you can catch a train from here to New Orleans or Chicago. But also I did not mention the Arrive Hotel. It's off of Main Street. It's actually just a few doors down from the Blues Hall of Fame in the same neighborhood as the Civil Rights Museum and Central Station and South Historic Art District. But Arrive is a boutique hotel that is just lovely. They have a wonderful bar. Their lobby is actually where I was having cocktails last night, if I said earlier, but that's where I was last night at the Arrive Hotel.
Milton has a good time in Memphis.
Oh, yeah, it's here. It's always got a cocktail. I love it.
But they have the wonderful coffee shop that is open from morning to the evening time. And then the lobby converts to a bar at night. And then also, if you want to have some food, then you can go down to Long Shots, which is in the basement of the hotel, which is in the restaurant there. And so it's really, really nice. And then you also have new downtown. There's Canopy by Hilton. They opened also during the pandemic. It is Hilton Hotel, center of downtown, sits right across from the historic Peabody Hotel, which I'm sure everybody knows about the Peabody, right? The Peabody Hotel is one of our oldest hotels in the city of Memphis. They've been around over 150 years. It's where the famous Ducks march every day at 11 and 5. So if you want a little bit of history when you come to Memphis, I would say Peabody. But also going back to the Canopy Hilton, which is across the street from the Peabody, they have the restaurant Curfew, which is by Chef Fabio. And he actually was on Top Chef. And so he curated the restaurant experience there, and it's absolutely one of my favorite places to go for dinner, new places in downtown Memphis to go to. And then you also have, there's the new hotel, the Memphian Hotel. I mean, you got to come to Memphis and stay at the Memphian, right?
I know, really, it's like.
And the Memphian is located in the, it's not downtown, so it's actually in Midtown. The distance between Midtown and downtown is about five miles. And so the Memphian Hotel has the complicated pilgrim restaurant located on the ground level, which is really, really great experience. But my favorite part, I have to say, of that hotel is just the decor and style. And like once you walk through the lobby, it has this funky, modern, upscale vibe to it that it really screams Memphis to me. And then once you go to the rooftop, which is truly an experience, the rooftop called Tiger and Peacock has the views of the Midtown area and wonderful cocktails and drinks and hors d'oeuvres. It's a wonderful place to go and have a cocktail in Midtown. So the Memphian Hotel is fabulous. And then there's some hotels that's been around for a moment. I mentioned the Peabody, but there's also like Big Cypress Lodge, which opened in 2015. It's inside of the Pyramid in downtown Memphis.
Pyramid, okay, yes. Because I swear I saw a part of the pyramid when we came over that bridge that one time. And I was like, it's the Luxor. And I hear you in like, the back of my head going, it's not the Luxor.
Yes. Well, full disclosure, that pyramid was my baby. I opened it up as a public spokesperson. Well, it opened in 91. I was in kindergarten then. But in 2015, I helped reopen it as their public spokesperson and promotions manager in 2015 before this Karen role at Memphis Tourism. And so that's my baby. It has over 600,000 gallons of water in that building with alligators and over 1,500 different types of, over 1,500 fish and 36 or so different type. It actually has, in the hotel, there's luxury. Some people think, oh, I'm going to stay inside of a Bass Pro Shops. It's a luxury hotel experience. It has a spa. Just imagine you take a luxury cabin that's in the woods and put it inside of a steel pyramid. You know, in the downtown Memphis area. And it actually has a glass observation deck at the very top of the pyramid. Ooh. And you ride the tallest freestanding elevator in the nation to get to the very top of it. So once you go inside the pyramid, if you want to go in a hotel and stay, do that. If you want to go in and catch a ride on the elevator, take it to the top. There's a restaurant up there as well. And a glass observation deck lets you lean over and look over at the city of Memphis. You get the view of Arkansas. You get the view of the Mississippi River. You get the view of the city of Memphis. And I like to argue and say you can see the treetops of Mississippi because Mississippi is only like a few miles away. But I can see the airport from up there. And the airport is like a mile or two from Mississippi. So I like to say and argue and say you can see Mississippi too. But that may be debatable. But definitely Arkansas and downtown Memphis. And so there's the Big Cypress Hotel, but also one thing in that hotel has been new that's added is you guys know the Wahlburgers Group restaurant, which is from one of the Wahlburgers, the brothers from New Kids on the Block. So the Wahlburgers have opened up a restaurant, Wahlburgers Wild, inside of the Bass Pro Shops at the Pyramid. So whether you go bowling or you can go to Wahlburgers or you can go to the rooftop or you can stay in a hotel.
Can we have a cocktail at the rooftop? Because everywhere else we can.
Yes.
Okay,
you can
that's
important. You can have a cocktail at the rooftop while watching the Big River cross, big river, but watching Mighty Lights show that takes place on the bridge, on the Hernando de Soto Bridge.
That would be fun.
Every night. So that's the perfect opportunity. Or catch the lights or catch the sunsets, then catch the lights.
That means we get to have more than one cocktail.
That's right.
See, but this is what's so cool. I mean, in Memphis, it seems like, you know, we can be up at, you know, it's like you can walk a bridge, you know, you can do rooftop cocktails and dining in all kinds of different ways. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Living in Memphis, I spend my time hiding from the city. There's so much to do when I'm off and my friends are calling, colleagues are texting, and if I'm not, because it's so much fun. I love what I do, being able to showcase the city that I grew up and raised, but Memphis is so easy to navigate, and the culture and the people here are so friendly, and the food is amazing. But you know, there's so much to do here. There's always a festival. There's always something happening that, you know, it's one of those things where I have the whole fear of missing out on something. So like I'm always going to something or doing something. And so that's the benefit of if you come in a tourist, because tourists are not looking to chill all the time. If you want to do that, you can. But there's so much to see and do if you want to do it. But if you want to just stay in one of our amazing hotels like the Peabody or the Hyatt Centric, you can do that. And by the way, the Hyatt Centric was just listed as one of the top 10 hotels in 2021 by the USA Today.
I wanted to ask, a lot of times on our travels, we've been staying in a lot of bed and breakfasts, and because they've done really well during COVID, like really well in taking care of everyone, and hotels have too. But that was one of those things that we just, you know, started bed and breakfast hopping, which wasn't always the kind of accommodations that we've done just because of what we do with we're working, you know, as we're traveling.
Yeah.
Turned out to be great. What's that like? Do you have any historic inns or B&Bs in Memphis?
Yeah, so I encourage people to check out the James Lee House. It's located in the Victorian Village. And actually I live in that neighborhood. So I live downtown, but it's another neighborhood of downtown Memphis. I'm literally a block away from it. I can see the Victorian Village from my balcony. But Victorian Village is a neighborhood which has several several historic homes that you can tour. I encourage people to check out their websites because some things may change during COVID. There have been some time changes and availability differences that have occurred. But I would definitely say the Victorian Village and stay at the James City House. It's really, if you're looking for a bed and breakfast that has a luxury experience and still be close to downtown, you know, you're walking distance from James City House to Sun Studios. You're walking distance to several restaurants. And that just in the Edge District is what the area is called. So it's Edge District, and it's also called Victorian Village, which is like this, and they're also connected to our medical district. All this little community right on the eastern end of downtown Memphis. And that's the community that I call home, where I live, and where, as I said earlier, where I like to hide from all the fun in Memphis.
I love this. Wow. So definitely all kinds of places to stay. Everyone, if you go to Memphis Travel, that's the best thing, right? Memphis Travel. And
yes,
keep up Memphis on the socials
Travel,
from
Memphis
there.
MemphisTravel.com. And also check out, go to Memphis Travel, and then don't just go on the site. Go ahead and subscribe to our mailing list on MemphisTravel.com so that you know what's happening every month. We don't spam you with multiple emails, but we do send one email once a month updating visitors about what's taking place in the city for that month, things to highlight, upcoming attractions or hotel stays, or sometimes may even be hotel discounts. So you never know. So I say definitely go to that and subscribe. And then also, once you do that, I encourage you to look at, if you're looking for some additional insight into Memphis, visit the I Love Memphis blog. They produce a weekly list of things happening for the weekend. So a lot of times, because I work in tourism, everyone assumes that I know everything that's going on, which I usually do. But
he gets the scoop with cocktailing around town. Or should I say the rooftop scoop?
And so what I usually do is I just go to I Love Memphis blog and pull what's happening for the weekend and drop it in the link to them. And so that is very much so, that site accommodates for tourists and locals. So I encourage everyone to have that in your on your top of the list to do before you come to Memphis is go to MemphisTravel.com and then visit the I Love Memphis blog. And then also follow us on social media. We're at Memphis Travel on everything. So from TikTok to Instagram to Facebook. Check us out on there and keep up. We post amazing, wonderful, entertaining content that you will love to like.
I want to see you cocktail drinking on TikTok. I can just see it. One down.
Well, you know, I've been in a couple of Memphis tourism commercials here or there. So if you look closely at some pictures on our website, you'll see me. I have a book in one. I don't have any with me with a cocktail. There may be one with a cocktail somewhere.
It's got to be. Well, it has been a real pleasure chatting with you again. Mm-hmm. And great to see you. And have a wonderful start to the new year and a wonderful spring. It sounds like you guys are going to be busy in Memphis having what sounds like an amazing time.
Yes, it's going to be amazing. I'm excited. Come on down to Memphis, everyone, when the timing is right for you to visit Memphis. We'll be here waiting on you. Come see us.
All right. Thanks. And everyone, again, we want to give a shout out to the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. Keep up with us at bigblendradio.com for the shows we do with them every second Tuesday, every second Friday. So, and their website is ifwtwa.org. If you're in travel and tourism, travel writers, definitely connect with them. They're an awesome, awesome organization because that's how we found out about Milton in Memphis.
That's
so,
right.
There you go. All right. Thanks so much, Milton.
Thanks, Milton.
Thank you for having me.